Wilson and CCR back to back. Mr. Landecker, you get a gold star.
Where do you hear the next one? Where do you hear the next one? That really is going to come out from a field. All right. Herb Weissbaum, the consumer man, here at 720 WGN. And it is. We're on the cusp, if not already, into traveling, hotels, airplanes, and all the fun things that come with it. So what do you got to say about that?
Well, I'm telling you, if you're not traveling yet, you better start booking, because the summer season starts earlier and earlier every year as people try to get away and beat the crowds. We just checked, by the way, it happened today. We dropped our podcast, and we also put an article out on checkbook.org about all the travel season. And I found out from TSA that security screenings at U.S. airports in April were already significantly higher, John, often by 100,000 passengers or more a day than last year at this time. And the trend is only expected to continue through the summer months. So it's going to be a very busy travel season. Clearly, everybody doesn't travel via airplane, but a lot of people do. Basically, we want to know what the prices are going to be, what you can expect to pay for the summer getaway. And the answer to that question is, it all depends. It all depends on where you're headed. So if you're gone somewhere in the United States, you still have a little bit of time to book, and you're still going to get prices fairly close, maybe a few dollars here or there, than they were last year. If you're headed to Europe, well, I'm sorry, it may already be too late. Some of the things are already booked up, like cruise ships and those kind of things. A lot of that is way, that ship has sailed, pun intended. You know, it may be impossible to get any deals if you go there, but you may still be able to do some stuff back here in the United States.
Well, what can we, as consumers, what kind of tips do you have on, if not airfare, then, you know, hotel rooms, rental cars, crowds, the hassles that come with traveling in the peak summer months?
You mean other than staying at home and go to the beach and have your radio on WGN?
Yeah, well, other than that, yeah.
Oh, other than that. Well, there are some things you can do if you're traveling domestically. First of all, if you travel and don't stay over a Saturday night, if you are flexible enough and you're able to get your vacation so that you can not spend a Saturday night, according to the website Hopper, and they track prices and predict prices, they say you can probably save 25% off the room rate if you just decide not to stay a Saturday night. So one tip you can do.
Yeah, because the hotels jack up the price for the weekend.
Exactly. That's one thing you can do. Second thing is you can go after Labor Day. Prices really do drop after the holidays in September. And I got to tell you, we always vacation in September, October. We've been doing lately, since I have a little bit more traveling time, to go to Europe. And the last few years, we have had spectacular weather, warm, like 70 degrees in September and October in Europe. The colors are changing. The leaves are beautiful. The vineyards are changing color. The crowds are all gone. The prices are lower. So if you can plan your vacation, you're not dealing with kids, you know, being out of school kind of thing, and can go when everyone else is not going, you can really save some money. The one other thing that it's a hassle factor is if you're going to Europe, beware of a few big events that are going on over there. You might have heard about the Olympics in Paris.
I have heard about that.
Got a big football game going on, and then there's this little singer from the United States, Taylor Swift, who's having a concert tour, and she just books all the hotels and does all this stuff. So if you're going over there and you haven't checked yet, be aware of what's going on. I mean, if you're going for that, obviously you're going for that. But if you're not going for that, you know, you might try to plan your trip accordingly, because that is going to just create all kind of traffic congestion and et cetera, et cetera.
Wow.
And with rental cars, and we can, I have, if you want to later, I have some specific rates of how prices vary. But if for rental cars, some of the way to save money is book the smallest car that fits your needs. So don't go crazy, because a lot of times they will have a shortage of vehicles, and they'll complimentary upgrade you to a bigger vehicle. I mean, last time I was in Hawaii, for $1, I didn't do it, but for $1, I could go from a compact, subcompact to a compact, or a compact to the next higher up for like a buck. Not a week, a buck, just a buck, not a day. So they do that sometimes. Those are some of the things that you can do to try to save some money when you're planning your trip.
Yeah.
Do I have time to share something from the podcast with you?
You can do whatever you want. Go on.
It's your show. Sure. It's Mr. Landecker's show. So this, because this one was news, this one was news to me and absolutely blew me away. So on the Consumerpedia podcast that just launched today, I spoke to a friend of our show, a show called Christopher Elliott. Do you ever read his column called On Travel? It's USA Today and all over the place, newspapers across the country. Chris has got a great life. He hasn't been back in the States, I think, for 2 or 3 years. He just picks another place to go. He writes these columns. He's a fabulous reporter, also tries to help people with their travel troubles. And he told me that not only are the parking rates at hotels going up dramatically, I mean, they're significantly higher than they were. In some big city hotels in Manhattan, some of the major hotels, they're now charging $100 a night or more.
To park?
So, to park the car. And Chicago, by the way, was another city where the parking rates are really high, $62 or more a night. So if you don't need a car like you're traveling all over, but you just say it might be more convenient, you might do the math and it may be more effective to take an Uber or Lyft around somewhere and skip the $60 a night plus the rental car fee that you're going to be paying to have the car there. But what blew me away, John, was he found in his column from complaints that travelers had written to him that some hotels – you know, the we've talked about the resort fee where you're staying at a resort, but it's not a resort. They just add this mandatory fee. Yeah. So you think you're paying $100 a night and they sneak on $25 a night. They tell you or they don't tell you. Well, they're now, some hotels he's found are now putting on parking fees, whether you have a car or not. They just add on a mandatory parking fee.
Wait a minute. How can you do that?
Well, that's a good question. And here's what Chris had to say about this on the podcast.
When you're researching your hotel, check to see if they do charge a parking fee and who gets to pay it. Some hotels will tell you, you know, basically everyone pays the parking fee and they just add it to your bill, a little bit like a resort fee. But if you happen to be at a hotel and they haven't disclosed it and then they add it to your bill, you should say something. And if they don't take it off, you have every reason to dispute the charge on your credit card bill. And I've seen that actually work.
Oh, yeah. Contact the credit card company and say this was not disclosed. I'm not paying this. Dispute the charge. So you need to check before your booking. Is there a resort fee and how much is it per day or per night to drive up the true price of the room? Is there a parking fee that's going to be charged if I park or not, or any other miscellaneous fees? And then if you haven't gotten these disclosures and he says, you know, you show up at the check-in and they say, here, sign this, just sign this a little bit, read it. Right. You might be saying, I agree to pay for parking even if I don't have a car here. So then they can say at the end, Mr. Landecker, you did sign this. We told you you were going to pay to park here. It's just, to me, and Chris was appalled too, how businesses can go out of their way to annoy their customers, the people that are spending money with you. If they did that to me, John, I'd never go to that hotel chain again as long as I live.
Absolutely. I mean,
you know,
I can't believe that would be something that they would attempt to do, is to charge you parking if you don't have a car. What's their logic, if there is one, other than ripping you off? I mean, are we supposed to look at this as some sort of communal effect?
It's going to be like,
it's part of supporting the hotel.
Yeah, it's part of supporting the hotel, which is supposed to be built into the rate. It's like, so, well, somebody's got to pay for parking. Well, somebody's got to pay for housekeeping, and somebody's got to pay for the light bulbs. Are you going to tack on a light bulb fee? It's supposed to be, here's what I'm going to spend the night. It's this breaking things up and playing games with people that just absolutely fries my cookies. It makes me really, really mad, because they're clearly playing with people, and it's just not the way to treat your customers.
Well, not only that, but it, you know, if it were me, like you said, if they snuck that in and you found out afterwards, who's going to go back to that hotel? And I would definitely tell somebody, hey, if you're planning on traveling XYZ, do not go to PDQ because they are ripping you off. But you don't have any legal recourse about that they charge you for parking even though you don't have a car?
Well, if they disclose it and you agree to it, they probably have the law on their side. If they don't disclose that, or they don't disclose the resort fee, then in my book, that's misleading and deceptive advertising. That's that's crime in this country. And you can file complaints with the Better Business Bureau or the Attorney General or the Federal Trade Commission. But to get your money back first, contact the credit card company and say, yo, I got charged a fee I didn't agree to. I'm challenging this charge, which also ties them up in paperwork. Yeah. So that makes me – they'll have to do the paperwork. If a hotel gets – or any business gets too many chargebacks, they're in trouble with the credit card company. They'll up the rates they charge them. So, you know, you're going to mess with me, I'm going to mess with you.
Now, you make a good point, though. I mean, you're given these forms to sign to register, you know, the register at the hotel or whatever. And who knows what they've snuck in the fine print on page 2, paragraph 27. You know what I mean? Well, and if you sign that.
Or even worse, John, they don't even, you know, some hotels you're automatically checked in. You just show up and like use your phone and your room key open or whatever. Yeah, well, then yeah. Who knows what they're, you don't even see the thing you have to sign about what the room charges are to begin with. That's just like, okay, I don't like that at all when they say, oh, you don't even have to check in. No, I want to check in and see what the deal is right. What we're going to be involved here before I, go up into the room.
Do you have any specific rates that you can quote or, you know, charges that that come to mind?
Yeah, we spoke to the folks at Hopper.com. That's a website, a booking website that also tracks prices and predicts prices, and asked them if they could give us some idea how this summer travel season compares to last travel season. And they gave us a bunch of numbers. So let me just give you a few of them we can to share what's going on. So domestic ticket prices, they say, for domestic airlines are already lower than they were at this time last year. And they expect airfare between now and September to remain in line or just about slightly higher than prices were in 2023, but a significantly lower than the prices in 2019. So that's good. So the average domestic round-trip ticket sold in May, Hopper's airfare forecast predicts, is going to be about $307, up 6% from the April average of $290. Domestic prices expected to peak this summer, Hopper says, at $315 per round-trip ticket before falling as low as $264 in September. Remember, those are averages. I bought tickets to Hawaii in May, and it was $800. So those are averages. You know, that factors in the $49 flight and the $800 flight. If you're going to Europe, you are going to find the tickets are a lot more expensive because that's the top international travel destination for Americans. And also, they have not recovered as far as capacity goes as well as we have. And they don't have just as many much equipment to put on as we do here in America. So the average ticket to Europe this summer is going to be around $900 round trip, much higher than in 2019 and even in some cases higher than 2018. So it is going to be costly to go to Europe this year. And so that's the one on that. For the rental cars, oh, by the way, if you're booking airfare, we need to really point this out because it recently changed. You know, you got to factor in the baggage charges, and baggage charges went up with a whole bunch of airlines. So you may be between $35 to $40 for the first bag and $45 to $60 for the second bag. You need to factor that in. If you got a family of four, that's a lot of money to pay.
That's
Southwest
right.
still gives you two free check bags per passenger. The other thing is that if you can plan in advance and you can save, obviously if you're a member of the club and you're got a high status level with the airline, you can check bags for free. But if not, consider getting a card that's with that airline, an Alaska card, an United card, an American card. In most cases, you will get maybe one or maybe two check bags for free, and that way you can really cut the bill. So that's another way to save money. Hotel room rates, here's what Hopper told us. He said the average hotel room rate is averaging about $206 a night right now, about the same as last year at this time. Again, we had the parking fees charged on top of that. Yeah, and as far as rental cars have come back from the pandemic. They've figured out how to move their cars around, and they got more equipment, and they're dealing with that much better. So right now, we're talking about $42 per day, tends to be the daily rental a rental car, about 4% higher than the average rate of $40 a day at this time last year. So things are coming back in line. Again, if you remember, during the pandemic, we talked about $1,000 a day in Hawaii. For somebody who wanted to rent a convertible or something like that.
Yep. You know, I remember that well, yeah.
So things it's not cheap to travel, but it's certainly getting back more in line or keeping, it's not going up as much as your eggs are at the supermarket or whatever.
We got less than a minute left. Tell us about the Consumer Podcast, how people can become part of your program, if you will.
Well, I have a website, consumerman.com, which you're welcome to visit, and I have a little tab there that will let you sign up for my website, and you'll get a free newsletter from me every week, and I'll tell you what's going on. I also write for checkbook.org. It's a consumer group, a nonprofit that helps folks. You'll find my articles there, and we do the podcast every other week, consumerpedia.org. And I wanted to leave with one more piece of advice that the gentleman we talked to, Christopher Elliott, he makes a living also. He started a nonprofit to help people who have travel and other consumer problems. And if you go to his website, ElliottAdvocacy.org, ELLIOTT travelinsuranceadvocacy.org. They will help you, steer you in the right directions with individual travel and other consumer problems. It is a great public service. Elliot, two L's, two T's, advocacy.org.
All right, Herb, thanks for coming on again. Always good to talk to you, and I'm looking forward to the next time. You too.